إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no deity is worthy of worship other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a straying. And every straying is in the hellfire. Beginning or continuing our class on fiqh inshallah ta'ala, after we have completed the books of marriage and divorce, as they were the issues or the chapters that concerned us most here in America or here in East Orange. But now, inshallah ta'ala, we want to start from the beginning and make this general, inshallah ta'ala. So beginning with the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, after I say a'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, in Surah Al-Ma'idah verse number 48, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِكُلِّن جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. For every group of people, we have made a particular sharia or legal system and a particular methodology or a way that they're supposed to worship their Lord. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking in the general sense that He has sent all of His prophets and messengers, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim ajma'in, to humanity with a particular sharia or legal law and a methodology or a way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He ended that messengership off and that prophetship off and that law off with His statement subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. This day I have perfected for you your deen and completed my favor to you and have chosen for you Islam as a deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after He has showed us that He has sent to every nation a particular sharia or legal system and a minhaj or a methodology or way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to be worshipped, He sent His last prophet and messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the final and complete deen, al-Islam. And it is upon at least a few of us to learn and to understand this deen so that we can teach the rest of people of the rest of the Muslims of their deen. And this is from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in Surah At-Tawbah verse number 122, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً فلولا نفر من كل فرقة منهم طائفة ليتفقهوا في الدين ولينذروا قومهم إذا رجعوا إليهم لعلهم يحذرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 122, is showing us the importance of gaining fiqh of this deen, at least some of the believers, so as to teach and to warn the other believers of that which their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to beware of. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, as translated, and all of the believers should not go out altogether. Meaning all of the believers should not go out to fight jihad altogether. All of the men shouldn't go out to fight jihad altogether. But from every group of people, there should be another group that gains the fiqh of this deen so that they may warn the people, the mujahideen, when they come back from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wanted us to warn them of. Maybe I need to look at Marcel Khan's translation. Make that flow a little bit. Let me try to say that again, inshallah, with Marcel Khan's translation. And then we'll see about any further explanation. Marcel Khan says in translation of this verse, and it is not proper for the believers to go out to fight jihad altogether. Of every troop of them, a party only should go forth, that they who are left behind may get instructions in Islamic religion, in the Islamic religion of the Islamic religion, and that they may warn their people when they return to them, so that they may beware of evil. Inshallah, that's a little clearer. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is showing us in this verse that there must always be a party or a group of the believers that remains in the masjids to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn to understand it properly, and to learn how to teach the people how to practice this deen in their lives. And this is the fiqh that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that a group of the believers must remain behind to get. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in other verses shows us the importance of gaining understanding of this deen or the knowledge of this deen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fatir, verse number 28, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, that the only people who really fear Allah are those who have knowledge, or the ulama. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that one of the keys of fearing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala is to have knowledge. And of course that knowledge is, as we have explained many times, the knowledge is قال الله قال رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That knowledge is Allah said, His Messenger said, صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah تبارك وتعالى also praises the people in Surah المجادلة, verse number 11, with his statement, يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. That Allah has raised up those from among you who have been given knowledge and degrees. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in this verse is showing that He has raised the people up who have knowledge of this deen. The people who have a fiqh or understanding of this deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised those people in degrees. And there should always, and there must always be a group among the Muslims who understand this deen properly so that they can pass it on to the believers so that they can know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone's not going to be a student of knowledge. Everyone's not going to be among the people who can sit in an hour class, an hour and a half class, and learn this deen. But there must be a party among the believers who has the patience to sit down in the messages of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to learn the deen so that they can pass this deen on to humanity. Islam isn't like those deens that the other people have, that they're forced to stand on the corners and that they're forced to go door to door to spread their deen because nobody wants that falsehood. But Islam spreads differently. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam spread it to the people. You make the open proclamation or proclaiming this deen, and then the people come to it. Then the individuals who learn this deen, they spread it on with the people they come in contact. It naturally just spreads. We see as the people who don't understand, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, they think that we aren't giving the da'wah properly in America. Why is Islam the fastest growing deen in America if nobody's giving da'wah to this deen? The da'wah to this deen is practicing this deen properly. And when you speak to the people, you proclaim and you spread this deen properly. This is the giving of the da'wah. The giving of the da'wah isn't just everybody running to the corner or running to the bus stops or whatever to start talking about Islam, being the first one not to know anything about Islam and the last one to practice Islam, and we're going to call that da'wah. And we see the da'wah efforts of the entertainers trying to preach this deen, and they don't understand this deen. This deen is going to be spread by a group of people who will remain behind in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will gain the fiqh of this deen, the understanding of this deen, and then when the people come to the houses of Allah, they will teach them their deen. And this is how Islam is to spread. So long as we have a group of people who will learn this deen, they will be the people, inshallah, who would pass it on in their gatherings, in the walimas, and the nikahs, and the aqiqahs, at the salat, when the Muslims are traveling together, working together, discussing this deen, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how the fiqh of the deen will spread. And there's an example that our shaykh used to mention from the hadith that is popularly known as Ain Allah or Where is Allah. The hadith of Sahih Muslim from Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami, who came into the salat, and the hadith goes, he came into the salat, he didn't know that he was supposed to talk in salat, that he wasn't supposed to talk in salat. So somebody sneezed, he said, Ya Rahamukallah. The people looked at him. He said, what's wrong with y'all looking at me? Anyway, they try to hit their hands on their thighs to shut them up, to let them know there's no more talking in salat like it used to be. Anyway, at the end, the Prophet ﷺ taught him that salat, there's no more talking in it. It's only dhikr and the statement Allahu Akbar and Subhanallah and the recitation of the Quran. And then he went on to answer some of the questions that Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami had. The Prophet ﷺ at the end of the hadith told Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami, go get that slave girl who you slapped, who you wanted to do something to repent from. And the Prophet asked her, where is Allah? And she said, Fis-sama, above the heavens. And he said, who am I? And she said, the Messenger of Allah. How did a slave girl in the middle of nowhere taking care of sheep know that Allah is above His throne, above the heavens, and that He, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the Messenger of Allah? When we see people today in cities, supposedly educated, don't even know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Messenger of Allah. They don't even know where Allah is. If you ask them where Allah is, they'll say everywhere. Even Muslims, unfortunately. don't even know where their Lord is. How did this young lady in the middle of the wilderness in the desert taking care of sheep understand this deen? From her slave master, who we saw in the hadith himself, didn't even know much of the deen as he was talking in the salah, and he wasn't supposed to talk in the salah. That was that when they came to the masjid, and they learned something from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to go back and they used to tell their mothers and their brothers and their children and their slaves and the people who they meet. They used to tell them about that which they learned of this deen. And this is how this deen spread. And this is how this deen will continue to spread, inshallah ta'ala. So I'm calling a group of the believers to come to the houses of Allah to learn this deen, so that you can go out and spread this deen to the believers and to whoever else who needs understanding of this deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraging you to learn this deen and to get an understanding of this deen and knowledge of this deen says in Surah Az-Zumar, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Are those people who know like those people who don't know? And unfortunately, out of our arrogance in America, we think that the people who don't know are just as important and are equal, not just as important. Sometimes they think that the people are even better than the people who know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking this question rhetorically. Are the people who know like the people who don't know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is showing the virtues of the people who know. And He commanded His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make the dua as it comes in Surah Taha, verse number 114. قُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Say, I command you to say. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, we the ummah are following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. قُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمِي عِلْمًا رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught His Prophet, and this should be a dua on our tongues when we come to learn this deen, that we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge of this deen. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala commands us in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. In the longest ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 282, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and fear Allah, and Allah will teach you. We have to have some taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to ask and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge and to give us the understanding of this deen, if we are to get the understanding of this deen. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also encouraged us to seek this deen. Rather, he made it compulsory on all of the Muslims to learn their deen. As he says, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, in this authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, talibul ilmi faridatun ala kulli Muslim. That seeking knowledge is incumbent upon every Muslim. That it is compulsory for every Muslim to seek the knowledge. And the way that the Muslims seek the knowledge will be varied. Some of them will come to the masjid to get the whole deal, to learn this deen with all of the details. The other people will just get it at the gatherings or at the lectures, the general understanding of this deen, so that they can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'd ask their friends and the people they work with, Akhi, if I do this, does it break my wudu? Akhi, if I do this, is my salat accepted? And questions like this that we would ask one another to gain an understanding of this deen. And there's no problem that some people are going to learn more of this deen than others. And we need to take this into consideration when we're trying to spread this deen and teach the people of this deen, that everyone isn't going to be on the same level of understanding of this deen. Some people are going to understand more. Some people want Jannah, some people want Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. Allahumma inna nasaluka firdaus al-a'la. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also encouraged us to seek the knowledge of this deen from the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim with his statement, salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhi, man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihhu fi al-deen. That whoever Allah wants good for, He will give him the fiqh of this deen. or the understanding of this deen. So if you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you the understanding of this deen and the fiqh of this deen, and He's increasing you in knowledge of this deen, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for you. Because if He wanted other than that, He would have made you ignorant. And we seek refuge in Allah from becoming among the ignorant. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, speaking to our case in specific, said, خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا فَقُهُ. And this Sahih hadith in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the best of you in Jahiliyyah are the best of you in Islam, provided that he got an understanding of this deen. And we need to take a look at this. As we see in America, unfortunately, the engineers, computer scientists, and people who hold the PhDs and the master's degrees, who have no understanding of this deen, we think that because they were the best of us in Jahiliyyah, they had the finest jobs, the biggest houses, the best cars, the most education, that when they accepted Islam, they're still the best. No, they're not the best until they understand this deen, until they gain fiqh or knowledge of this deen. So we need to see that the best of us in Jahiliyyah are the best of us in Islam, provided that he got an understanding of this deen. And some of us, alhamdulillah, were a little okay in Jahiliyyah because we had minds. And if we use those minds, as we use them for corruption in Jahiliyyah, if we use them to learn this deen in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make us among the better Muslims. All Muslims aren't on the same level. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises whoever He pleases to degrees from the people who He give knowledge of this deen. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, collected in the books of Sunan, when it's mentioned like that, is referring to Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, Abu Dawood, and Ibn Majah. They're known as the books of Sunan, or the books of the Sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this long hadith, "Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi 'ilman sahala Allahu lahu bihi tariqan ila al-jannah." That whoever travels a path seeking knowledge in that path, Allah will make the path for him to Jannah an easy path. So here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us to get to Jannah if we seek the path of gaining knowledge of this deen and this dunya. So this statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to encourage the believers to seek knowledge of this deen, and to show us the reward of those people who seek knowledge of this deen. Because if a group of us seek knowledge of this deen as we have been commanded, then they can spread this deen to the rest of humanity by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to also ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, "Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilman la yanfa'." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say in some of his dua, and these are in authentic hadith, and we can find them in the authentic supplications of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah, "Oh Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge." And the Prophet ﷺ used to say, "Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from knowledge that does not benefit." So not only are we seeking knowledge, gaining a fiqh or an understanding of this deen, but we're seeking beneficial knowledge. And beneficial knowledge is the knowledge that will benefit you in the hereafter. Because the life is the life of the hereafter. So the knowledge that is beneficial is the knowledge that will benefit you in the hereafter, and that's the knowledge of this deen. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed this in another hadith collected by Imam al-Hakim in his book of history, At-Tariq, with the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith. Do you remember that hadith? Subhanallah, I forgot that hadith. "Inna Allah ta'ala yubghidu kulla 'alimin bid-dunya jahilin bil-akhirah." That's the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah ta'ala. That
Allah Ta'ala hates everyone who is knowledgeable of the affairs of this world, ignorant of the affairs of the hereafter. So here Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is showing us that knowledge that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is raising the people with, that knowledge that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants a group of the Muslims to gain so that they can teach the other Muslims, is the knowledge of this deen. It's the knowledge that will benefit us in the hereafter. It's the knowledge that will teach us to do in this dunya that which is pleasing to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and to stay away from that which is displeasing to Him Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And that the knowledge of this world of carpentry, engineering, and computer scientists and computer science, nursing, and all of the knowledge of this world, it is only beneficial after that person has a knowledge of this deen, that which would benefit him in the hereafter. So we don't need to praise anyone with a master's degree, a doctor's degree, someone who has knowledge of something who he says is going to benefit the Muslims because he's a doctor or a lawyer or a policeman or whatever. And we say the Muslims need this and that is going to benefit the Muslims. It's only going to benefit us after that person has a knowledge of this deen. I'm not saying that we don't need these things, but we only need them after we have a knowledge of this deen. Because if we didn't have a doctor to cure us by the permission of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala from our illnesses, and we died on this deen, alhamdulillah. But you can imagine yourself being cured of your illnesses and dying on kufr, how would it benefit you? Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala commands us to learn this deen. And he shows us how to learn this deen by his statement, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِي إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, from Surah An-Nahl, verse number 43, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, I command you to ask the people of dhikr, the people of knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when you don't know. I command you to ask the people of dhikr when you don't know, the people of knowledge when you don't know. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is commanding us to ask the people who know, and that this is the way to know, or the way to gain knowledge of His deen, is by asking those people who know. And the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the authentic hadith collected by Abu Dawood, إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالُ, that the only cure for ignorance is the question. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is showing us that the only cure for our ignorance of remaining in a state displeasing to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the question. The question about this deen, to do those things that are pleasing to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this to the companions who made a fatwa without knowledge, and one of the companions died because of that fatwa. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if they would have only questioned, because the question, the only cure for ignorance is the question. The only cure for ignorance, displeasure to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, is the question of this deen. And that if we question, we should be questioning with the type of questions that would benefit us in our deen, that would teach us how to practice this deen properly, that would teach us how to get closer to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and that we would stay away from questions that wouldn't benefit us. As Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala warned the Muslims in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verses number 101 and 102, as he says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tas'alu an ashya'a in tubadalakum tasu'kum wa in tas'alu anha hina yunazzalu al-Qur'anu tubadalakum عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهَا وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ حَلِيمٌ قَدْ سَأَلَهَا قَوْمٌ مِّن قَبْلِكُمْ ثُمَّ أَصْبَحُوا بِهَا كَافِرِينَ. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us in this verse, O you who believe, do not question about things that if they were made clear to you, they would harm you. And if you would question about things while the Quran is being revealed, then they would be explained to you. Allah has pardoned those questions of the past, and Allah is Ghafurun Haleem, or the forgiving and the gentle. Indeed, the people who have a people who have come before you have asked those type of questions, and they became kafirs or disbelievers because of that type of questioning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse to the believers, teaching us to stay away from questions that have no benefit. They don't help us get closer to Allah. They don't help us get closer to the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't help us to practice or worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He ought to be worshipped, or teach us to fear Allah as He ought to be feared. They aren't questions that will keep us away from the hellfire. They aren't questions that would They aren't the questions that wouldn't benefit us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us to stay away from those types of questions. People who don't know who their father is. Do you know who my father is? As if that's going to benefit him. As they were burdening the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is my father in the hellfire or is he in Jannah? As if that's going to benefit him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us the etiquette of asking questions, and that we only ask that what would be beneficial to us in our deen. And that if we would ask questions when the Quran is being revealed, meaning if we would ask the type of questions that would give us clarification of revelation in both its forms, Quran and Sunnah, then it would be better for us. And that if we persist in asking those questions, then know that a people who came before you asked questions that didn't benefit them, and because of it, they became disbelievers. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us the severity of asking those questions, and the sin of the Muslim who asks those questions that don't benefit him. As he says in this hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, إِنَّ أَعْظَمَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي الْمُسْلِمِينَ جُرْمًا مَنْ سَأَلَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ لَمْ يُحَرِّمْ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَحُرِّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَجْلِ مَسْأَلَتِهِ. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ said that the Muslim with the biggest crime or the biggest sin against the other Muslims is the one who asks about something that was not haram or prohibited for the Muslims, and it became prohibited and haram because of that person's questioning. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us the seriousness of asking questions that won't benefit us. If the believers are practicing a particular practice, no one says anything against it. Everyone is benefiting. No one knows of anything that prohibits it. Why should we question, is that thing haram? So as to make it haram, that which wasn't haram on the believers, like the question I was questioned on Yawmul Jumu'ah that I didn't answer. And that myself, I wouldn't even try to research. And I wouldn't ask anyone who has knowledge that question because of the harm it would do. On Jumu'ah, the masjids around the world are jam-packed and over-flooding. Everywhere. People fall asleep, quite a few people. It's hot, it's crowded, you've been working all day, it's like lunch break, you get a little break, you fall asleep. Not that you weren't trying to pay attention to the khatib or whatever, it just happens. When you fall asleep, your wudu breaks. When we fall asleep in Jumu'ah, do we have to hurry up and go make a wudu? Or are we still in the state of wudu? Everybody's been falling asleep and getting up and making the salat. If that question is answered and it says, yes, your wudu is broken, you got to make a wudu. How many people, you in the middle of the masjid? And it might be a few people and we see them. It'd be a few people, everybody's going to try to, how you going to get through while everybody's lining up? You're going to be breaking up the rows. You're going to be trying to get to the place of wudu. It's not enough places. The salah isn't really that long. Like the Prophet ﷺ encouraged the khatibs to make it and to make the khutbah short. He'll come back up, he'll miss the salatul jumu'ah. He won't have any salah. And we know the hardship that might be on the believers. So why even ask a question like that? And there's other questions that I don't want to bring them up, where the people they're doing something already, and they benefiting from what they do, and then somebody else is jealous that he's benefiting maybe, or envious of that person's benefit, and they question, is it permissible for us to do such and such? Why? Because such and such is already doing it and he's benefiting from it? We just want to make a question because something wasn't haram on the believers. So that because of our questioning, we'll make it haram on the believers to think that this is the understanding of the deen. And this is better practicing of the deen. But this is making something haram on the believers that wasn't haram on the believers. And indeed, the Muslim with the biggest crime against the Muslims is the one who acts about something that was not haram and it becomes haram because of his questioning. So this is a statement from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show us not to question, or to teach us not to ask about everything because it might be some harm in it. This deen, alhamdulillah, is clear. We hear the ayats of the Quran being recited in the salawat. We've been commanded to learn the book of Allah and to read the book of Allah. We come to the masjids and we learn about the deen of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make this deen, inshallah, clear to us. But we don't need to overdo it and to be too fast and too hasty so as to have something made haram on us that wasn't made haram on us before. In learning the fiqh of this deen and gaining an understanding of this deen, we have to keep some things in mind, like questioning and staying away from these questionings. And we also have to keep other things in mind, like the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولُو الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. And this is in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 59, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, I command you to obey Allah, and I command you to obey the Messenger, and those in authority from among you. And if you differ, and this is the point, if you differ in anything, then take it back to Allah and the Messenger, if you believe in Allah and the last day, and that is better as a final decision. And we had just covered the tafsir of this ayah in the talk, Al-Ikhtilaf, what is it and what do we do when it happens? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that when we differ, and we're going to differ, that we take our differences back to Allah and to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we're discussing the fiqh of this deen and we're trying to gain an understanding of this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to fall into differences, minor differences inshallah ta'ala, and when we do, we're going to take it back to the book of Allah and to the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And there's more details about this differing, and I just wanted to make it brief, and whoever wants to remind himself of that lecture and the explanation of this ayah can do that. But we have to keep in mind that when we differ, we take it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after we did that, if there's still any differences left, we just let it go. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us believers and discouraged us from differing, because this differing would weaken us and make us unsuccessful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also praised those people who listen to the arguments that are said and try his best or her best to follow that which is most correct in their eyesight or the way they see it. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Az-Zumar, verse number 17 and 18, فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادَ أَلَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. And I'm starting from the end of one verse and then continuing where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, give glad tidings to my servants, those who listen to what is being said and follow the best of it. Those are the ones that Allah has guided, and those, they are the ones who have sense, or they are the ones who have an intellect. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is praising those among His servants who listen to the arguments. there's going to be some difference of opinion. You listen to the sides, you listen to the arguments, and you try to follow that which is correct. This is what is upon every believer. Not that we will necessarily agree on everything, but we at least have to agree that we're going to listen to what is being said and try to follow the best of it. This is the introduction that I wanted to bring to this fiqh class. And then I wanted to say that I wanted to make this fiqh question and answer, and not the way that we had continued it in the past of just giving the lesson and then asking the questions. Because there's a lot of questions that come by during the week, and unfortunately, because I'm not a scholar and I don't have that type of knowledge, that a lot of the questions and the brothers know and the sisters know that they get from me, Allahu A'lam. And that if we questioned and gave the one who's going to answer it some time to answer those questions, maybe we can have many of our questions answered so that we can get a better understanding of this deen, inshallah ta'ala. At first, I have wanted to make the questions open. Question on anything you like. I document those questions, and then the next week's talk would be answering those questions. And then saving 10, 15 minutes or 5 minutes at the end of the lesson to take the new questions. And then the following week would be the answer to those questions and then the taking of the new questions. But I thought that it might be better if, and you all can have some input in that, that we take the questions firstly on a particular topic. Like we start on Kitab al-Tahara or purification. So the first we would take the questions on wudu and ghusl and tayammum and what breaks the wudu and what is the etiquettes of using the bathroom, cleaning ourselves, cleaning the utensils that we eat from, like that which a dog licks, and how do we handle that, and the eating utensils of the kuffar, is it just simply permissible for us to eat from them, or what are the verdicts concerning eating with the utensils of the kuffar, and so on. Everything that has to do with the issue of cleaning, is leather from the pigskin permissible for the Muslim to wear or not, and why? These type of questions that would be all around the issue or the chapter of purification. And then we will go chapter by chapter through the books of fiqh like they normally are in the order of the Sahih al-Bukhari, chapter by chapter. You take the tahara, wudu and ghusl and tayammum and using the bathroom and eating utensils and the cleanliness of them and so on and so forth. Then you move to the book of Salat. Then you move to fasting, you move to zakat, you move to hajj and umrah, you move to jihad, you move to marriage, divorce, and all of the chapters that we find in the chapters of the book of fiqh. I mentioned the chapter, then we take the questions that came from that chapter. And everyone knows that I don't like to encourage the people to question, to say, okay, question. So we're going to know that next week, inshallah ta'ala, that the questions are going to be on tahara, on cleanliness, wudu and ghusl and tayammum, so that during the week, you know, I'm encouraging the brothers to keep a pad and paper with them, that when the questions come up, or if they hear questions from the people, that they write those questions down. If they can get them to me during the week, alhamdulillah, and if not, save it for the tape, you know, so that the question can be read, so that the people can hear the questions that are going to be answered during the coming week. And of course, I'll ask some questions in that I hear from people that aren't a part of the class, or some that I would just make up myself on some issues that I feel that every Muslim needs to know, and the brothers didn't question about them, so that we would try to keep this thing a little more interesting by hearing the question and then hearing the answer in a detailed form, quoting the ayat and where the ayat is, quoting the hadith, the authenticity of it, and where the hadith is. As a lot of times when I quote from memory, it's hard, you know. I mean, the Quran has 6,600 some ayahs. And alhamdulillah, we try to read the Quran and memorize some of the Quran. And you know that there's a lot of ayahs. Sometimes it's hard to remember the ayah. And I was just asking a brother the other day, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een is what ayah number in Surah Al-Fatiha? If he didn't go back from Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, maybe he couldn't remember the ayah. How much more so, and that's only seven ayahs, how much more so on the other surahs, Al-Waqiyah, Rahman, Baqarah, hundreds of ayahs. How can I remember what is the ayah number so that it would be easy for the brothers and sisters to go back to the Quran and to read the ayah over and over and try to contemplate its meaning, to reflect upon it so that they can memorize it themselves and that they can pass it on to the believers. Hadith is the same way. A lot of people, we memorize some hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It might be on the tongues of everybody. But if you say where that hadith is, where's that hadith? You say, I don't know, but it's authentic. And inshallah, it's that way. But we wanted to try to make this class a class where we can actually gain the fiqh of this deen and the knowledge of this deen. So myself, not being a scholar, I need time to go back to look in the Quran and say, yeah, that's verse number 55 of such and such a surah. And even at times, I forget what surah that verse is from. Because you know a lot of the surahs, Allah is repeating the same thing. And a lot of surahs have the same topic or issues discussed in them. So you don't remember when you're quoting the verses of divorce. Is that from Surah Al-Baqarah or is it from Surah Al-Talaq? Because they sound almost alike. And you can't remember exactly, is it from there or is it from there, until you read the surah and say, oh, all right, now I know what surah it's from. So I wanted to take the time to take the questions in 1 week and then answer them in detail the next week so that we can get a nice fiqh of this deen, inshallah ta'ala. So next week, and if the brothers came with the questions and the sisters, inshallah, and presented them during the week, before next Tuesday came, it would be better. So that when next Tuesday came, inshallah ta'ala, I can begin reading the questions and the answers, inshallah ta'ala, as best as I could. I'd have chance to contact some of the ulama if we have to have a fatwa on some of the questions that come up. So that inshallah ta'ala we can get a fiqh of this deen, an understanding of this deen, so that we can worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala as He ought to be worshipped and die as Muslims, and also spread this deen on to the other before they memorize, before they get those details down, before they get the real understanding. We see that which we see. Of all this differencing of an opinion, all of this fighting, all of this. Akhi, I was only trying to put you on the sunnah and stop you from practicing that bid'ah. Because we don't memorize the ayat, and we don't memorize this hadith, and we don't talk about this deen as an authority on this deen. And people naturally feel comfortable if you quote the ayat, you know where the ayah is, you quote the hadith, you know where the hadith is, you know the verdicts of the ulama and the explanations of the ulama concerning these ayat and these hadith. When someone hears you speak, he knows that this person is speaking like he knows this deen, and he accepts it. Because we know that we can accept this deen from anyone who brings it, so long as his character is okay and he has an understanding of this deen. And the only way you're going to know that is when you hear people speak. You listen to someone speak and you say, man, you know brother so-and-so? Man, I heard him, he was explaining something to so-and-so. Man, I ain't know he understood this deen like that. I mean, it's clear that you can see from the brothers and sisters who know this deen, because you hear on their tongues, قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ قَالَ صَحَابَ قَالَ التَّابِعُونَ قَالَ الشَّيْخ so-and-so قَالَ الشَّيْخ so-and-so, because they have an understanding of this deen. And when you hear the people saying that, saying it, teaching the people like this, explaining and answering questions like this, then you say, yeah, that person understands this deen. Or at least that issue of this deen. And the Prophet ﷺ said, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, preach or propagate from what you've learned from me, even if it's only one ayah. So we know that, you know, a person doesn't have to be a scholar to pass on some of this deen. He can be a student of knowledge. He can be an everyday person to pass it on. Just like the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, as we were mentioning, they used to learn a little something here and there from the Prophet ﷺ and go home and teach their families. One little dua, they go home and teach their families that dua. I heard the Prophet ﷺ say such and such. And we know that there are companions among the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, like Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami. And this hadith in Sahih Muslim, he's not from among the scholars of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And he didn't narrate many hadiths on the Prophet ﷺ. You got some companions narrated one hadith on the Prophet ﷺ. Three hadith on the Prophet ﷺ. That's all they had. But they passed that on, and we benefited from it because they passed that on. So no one has to be a scholar to pass his deen on, but he has to memorize and understand that issue like the scholar understood it, so that he could pass it on. And the only way we're going to do that is by coming to the messages of Allah, sitting down with the people who know, questioning them beneficial questions so that they can get beneficial answers and knowledge, memorize it, understand it, practice it, implement it in their lives, and then pass it on to the believers. So inshallah ta'ala, you can let the believers know that we want to make this fifth class a question and answer. And we want to try to take at least the questions pertaining to particular issues so that we can have some type of order. And then after we handle the questions and answers of a particular issue, then we can just take answers that come up. As this deen of Islam is a real deen, and it's a practical deen, and we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day, not only on Sundays or Tuesdays, the night of the class, but we worship Allah every day. And we have things that face us in our lives, questions, they need to be answered, so we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala basira, on clear knowledge and understanding. So after we take the questions and answer them on a particular issue, then we will take just general questions that might come up during the week and answer them so that we can try to get an understanding of this deen, inshallah ta'ala. So I know this was surprising, but if there are any questions on tahara, wudu, and ghusl, and so on, we'll take them, and if not, try to write them down during the week. And I have some questions myself, inshallah, from some of the people, as I was questioned just Sunday at the class of Masjid Ikhwan in Brooklyn. If you're making wudu and you get all the way down to you only have your left foot to wash, you pass when? Do you have to start all over, or do you just wash your foot? Alright, the first thing that says, well, you broke when, you should start all over. That broke your wudu, start. But before you wash that left foot, you never even got into the state of wudu from Jump Street. So why you say that you broke wudu? No, you wasn't in wudu yet until you finished that foot. So everything up to that point, you didn't, you were still out of wudu until you finished that left foot. So breaking your wudu, you're still out of wudu anyway until you finish that left foot. So do you just finish that left foot, or do you start all over? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I think this is a question of ijtihad, and we have to get a fatwa from some of the ulama. And I think that one of them answered it in Medina, this question that came up. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he came to Medina one time and he was in the Prophet's masjid, and he took only questions on tahara. So, and I think this was one of the questions. Anyway, Alhamdulillah, one of the students wrote out all of those questions and answers and put it in book form. And Alhamdulillah, I was able to purchase that book. So we'll see if the answers to that, if we have the answer to that question. But I'm saying that the questions that we are faced with in our lives as we're trying to practice Islam, when those questions hit us, we should just try to keep a pen and paper on us, write it down. Bring those questions back. Let's answer them. See if we can get, ask them, see if we can get answers to them. But only questions that are going to benefit us in this deen. Not going to cause a hardship on the believers. And not going to be just a waste of time just to say, I know such and such. But every question should have an answer to help you do something to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how you know if the question is beneficial. It's not going to be just something to keep in your brain. 2 + 2 = 4 or something like that. But that you're going to actually be able to practice something in your life when you hear the answer to that question. So between now, inshallah, and next Tuesday, we're calling the believers to bring their questions forward on Tahara in specific. And then if there's anything that's important outside of that, then we'll take that. And that was our class for today, inshallah ta'ala, in fiqh. Now, oh, there's a question, inshallah.
We know that the wiping over the kuf is permissible. If provided that you had wudu when you put the kuf on. Okay, you have wudu, you put your sandals on, with your feet exposed. You break that wudu that you had, and you put those sandals on. You make wudu again with those sandals on. Is it permissible to wipe over the sandals?
Yeah. For the sisters, who didn't hear that, if there are any sisters here listening, the brother is questioning, if we put our khufs on, leather socks, when we have wudu, when we make wudu, we just wipe over them as the Prophet ﷺ did, as narrated from his companions. Okay, if we put sandals on while we had wudu, and we know sandals are different than khufs in the sense that the khuf, the leather, covers your whole foot. But the sandal, it covers part of your foot and leaves part of your foot open. Is it permissible for us to wipe over that sandal? Or do we take that sandal off and wipe our foot? That'll be one of the questions, inshallah ta'ala, that we will try to answer next week. Yes.
What are the conditions for wiping the body parts one time while making them? I heard you could do that, like wash your hands one time.
Yeah, the brother is asking, what are the conditions, if there are any, for washing the body parts one time when you make wudu? As we know, it's common that we've all been taught that when you make the wudu, you do this 3 times, and that one 3 times, and that one 3 times. And maybe some of us have heard that, yeah, it's permissible to do it one time or 2 times. How is that? And to explain. So inshallah ta'ala, these questions and the questions that come up during the week, and then the other questions that we'll add inshallah, we'll try to have answers to them, detailed answers inshallah ta'ala next week. And if there's any suggestions for this fiqh class to try to make it beneficial for the people, then the people should give their ideas and their suggestions. And the sisters, they should write their questions down and send their children up, or maybe we'll work something out other than that, so that we can get the questions of the sisters also, inshallah. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, walhamdulillah.